Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew Hughes. He is Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Serena has left the Straight Edge Society and WWE?
She got fired, and what's funny about it is she was fired for drinking and partying, which is against the Straight Edge Society mantra. And she actually was known as being a little bit of a party girl. And I think that WWE has really cracked down on some of their talent doing things that are going against storylines. For example, when the Undertaker wedding photos got out, WWE got really upset about it because he was supposed to be incapacitated. And Serena actually was going out after matches and drinking and partying. And that's not what her character was supposed to do. So they warned her. And this week, they let her go.
Wow. Unbelievable. One thing that I was kind of disappointed to hear that Homicide and TNA, they've decided to part ways. It's kind of sad that they have. I'm pretty sure he's going to go to Ring of Honor. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, actually, you know, to be honest, he could probably go to WWE because he is a big guy. And I think that he probably could fit in there somewhere. The only problem is he wouldn't be able to do any of his real moves. You know, he has the vertebraker or the gringo killer, but he wouldn't be able to do that, which is unfortunate. So, but I hope that he comes back to TNA. I think he was a good fit there, and you know, I hope he has a success wherever else he goes.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see that he's left them though. He is a good wrestler. I remember him when he did the stuff for Juggalo Championship Wrestling. I mean. That's when I first heard of him, and he did an excellent job there. So it's kind of sad. Last week, Alberto Del Rio's profile went live on WWE.com, and this is what it said. Are you okay with this for Del Rio's bio? Just asking because I know he's supposed to be a big deal fairly quick. What's the deal with the webmaster? That's what I don't get. Why would you mess something up that big on his bio? I mean, what do you think, dude?
I thought that was incredibly hilarious because they had the issue last week with the Daniel Bryan thing getting posted, and this week they messed up here. I mean, next week they're going to post something incredibly crazy probably. So, but I don't know. This is just one of those really funny things I thought that we should just talk about real quickly. But something that is very serious is Skip Sheffield has broken his leg.
Wow. I thought it was just his ankle.
Or maybe it was his ankle. Maybe it was his ankle.
But still, that's a big deal, though, because that, I mean, if you break either your leg or your ankle, you're talking probably 6 months. You can't wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
He's gone. He's gone. I don't know what storyline they're going to do, but, you know, they're going to have to do something. And I doubt he'll even be on TV. I mean, they're probably just going to be like, nope, he's gone.
That's really sad. And you know, they're pushing him really big, too, which is the really sad part of the whole situation.
Yeah, he was like the enforcer type, you know, he was going and he was doing really big things, and I don't know, I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, I mean, just like you said, so.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Anyways, moving on to Raw, not as good a show I thought it was going to be. I thought they were going to make it a lot better, but we had Miz versus Bryan. Are they getting set up for Nia Champions? I think so. I think he'll drop the U.S. title to Daniel Bryan. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Yeah, I think that that's probably what's going to end up happening, too. And I think that they're looking to push Miz. And so, I mean, he's got to get rid of the belt somehow. And I think this is the perfect setup to do so.
I like how you put that. They have to get rid of the belt somehow. Yeah, and then also Sheamus versus Barrett versus Orton versus Cena versus Edge versus Jericho at Night of Champions. So they're going to have a six-way dance.
Yeah, do you like this?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't think it's good. I mean,
but the thing is, though, Barrett gets his title shot, but he gets it with all of these other people. Sheamus is probably not going to retain the title. More than likely, what will happen is Orton will probably get it from pinning, you know, maybe like Edge or Jericho or something. And then you have a six-person, you know, six people vying for the World Heavyweight Champion or for the WWE Championship. Mm-hmm. And I actually like that because realistically it had only been, you know, it was Cena versus Batista, and then it was Cena versus Sheamus, and then Sheamus versus Orton. And so I kind of like it because it's a bigger crowd. It's people who are big names going for the title. And so that's why I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The nice part, like you said, that has the big names in it, but wouldn't be this should be the time, though, that they go ahead and let Miz cash in his Money in the Bank, I would think, because he's probably going to lose it. I would assume that whoever wins the title in that six-way dance, they're going to be done. So I bet you anything, Jericho wins it. And then the Miz comes out and pins him. That's what I think is going to happen.
It could be.
Anyways, moving on to SmackDown, not much happened. They're just feuding it up, as always, over there. What do you think of the Rey-Del Rio feud?
I think it could be good. Del Rio has a big size advantage over Rey. The only thing is, though, to have Del Rio come in and feud with one of your top stars on SmackDown, Del Rio has to win. If Del Rio loses, he loses all credibility.
That's true. Yeah, so the fact that he's going against Rey Mysterio, you know he has to lose. That kind of sucks, though.
Yeah, it does. It does, because you don't have that, like, oh, what's going to happen, you know? Mm-hmm. But what about MVP and Swagger? Now, this is a little bit different, because I could see MVP winning, but I could also see Swagger winning. So, I mean, what do you think about this feud?
Either one. You could have Swagger win, and it'll help him. You could have him lose. It won't matter. And you can have, no matter what happens to MVP, he can win or lose. It doesn't matter because, I really dig MVP. And I think if they were to turn him heel right now, I think he would actually lose a lot of credibility. The fact that he's not heel actually, I think, helps him out. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited, you know, with MVP. But, you know, we'll see how things go. Next is Kofi versus Dolph Ziggler. I don't like it because I do like it because Dolph is going to win, and Kofi, it doesn't matter what happens to him. Win, lose, or draw, he's still going to be a top face. Mm-hmm. I almost wish they'd bring him up a next level. I think that him feuding for almost the title would be nice, but that's wishful thinking, of course.
Sure. Yeah, I think that Kofi, I think could be great, and I think that this could help out Kofi. But my guess is, though, they're doing this to push Ziggler up higher because Ziggler, you know, he wasn't that big of a deal. And yeah, he had a couple wins over Kane, but those are flukes. And I think that his feud with Kofi can help elevate him. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I put on here Taker and Kane, but we've talked about it for the past 2 weeks. So I think if you want to know what we think about it, listen to the last two shows. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Anyways, NXT just got done watching it. Literally, the quiz show, stupid.
How many of those answers did you get right, like, while watching?
In all seriousness, I missed one.
I don't know.
The skateboards.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get that one. That was the only one. Everyone else I knew. I didn't
get the WWE one, though. I actually...
Which one? It
was Triple H was the answer.
Triple H. Yeah, Triple H has had the most because... Ric Flair, they always said world champion, but they said WWE champion, so of course it goes to Triple H, because if I'm correct, I'm probably wrong this number, but I think he's had it either 8 or 12 times. I don't remember the exact number. 8 or 12, yes, exactly. But I got that one. I'm like, oh, it's Triple H, everyone, because they said that a long time ago, but I knew Eve was the 07 Divas winner, and everyone else they put out there, I was like, yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, I know that one. I'm like, why don't they give a hard one out? And then they said, like, how did they come out? And I was like, oh, good one. I don't know. And I was actually pissed, or I was actually ticked about that because I thought I had it. But skateboards it is.
But did you, obviously the quiz show, I mean, it's just something that they, you know, they've been doing it for a long time. We've talked about it on our past shows about how we don't like how it's not about wrestling. And that's the big thing. It's a quiz about wrestling. But we want to see some action. We want to see you showcase these young talents. And one of the things that I didn't like was they had Cody Rhodes versus MVP, and it wasn't, you know, it was just those two versus each other. It wasn't even a tag match.
Nope.
And the match was over 15 minutes.
Actually, you're not going to believe, I actually know the time on it. It was 25 minutes.
It was 25?
Yeah, because it started at 40 minutes into the show and ended at 105. 25 minutes. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding. This is ridiculous. This is about NXT, not... They should have had all three of them do a three-way dance, is what they should have had. And then had the show end. That's what they should have done. But whatever. But you know what you should know what else what we should have done is we should have actually got another domain from GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com is what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. TNA. Samoa Joe has returned from his suspension. And the crowd goes wild.
He faced Orlando Jordan, who ended up beating him earlier this year for God knows what reason. It made no sense, you know, because he's lost only a handful of matches. And they were to, like, Kurt Angle. I think he lost to AJ Styles. I could be wrong, though. And you lose to Orlando Jordan, who they've done nothing with. So he came out and he kicked the living crap out of him. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of nice to see him back. But the other thing, too, is Nash and Double J finally got into the ring. Did you like that?
That's been, 6 months since either one of them been in the ring?
Pretty much. I mean, it's been a long time.
Yeah, so. It has been a long time. It's actually kind of weird. I mean, you wouldn't think that would be a big deal, but actually is a big deal. They haven't been in the ring forever. Kind of nice to see him back in the ring. Yeah, not much here. They're just back in the ring. Anyways, we had a 4-on-4 semifinalists. They defeated Fortune, which is, of course, Kurt Angle, the Pope, Mr. Anderson, Jeff Hardy, defeated Styles, Kazarian, Doug Williams, and Matt Morgan.
Yeah. The thing is, though, it's kind of nice because we are seeing these different types of matches on TNA that you normally don't see in WWE. And in particular, you had this, you had eight people who are awesome, So, I mean, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it ended up being a good, decent match. I mean, I think most of the time when TNA puts stuff out, it is always a decent match. So realistically, not much in the week of wrestling, surprisingly. This has actually been a very slow week. No one died yet. It's been very slow.
Yeah, and so this week we promised the fans that you were going to go over your top 10 wrestling factions of all time, according to Andrew Hughes.
Now, I have to disclose that I actually narrowed it down to 18. And that was off of, I think the first number was like 28. So I actually had to narrow it down. So I just want to go over real fast the eight that I could not get in. And I know that some were bad, but I just want to go over those real fast. I had to go, of course, real quick, LWO, Job Squad, FBI, Spirit Squad, BWO, The Fabulous Freebirds, Heart Foundation, and then the Corporate Ministry. Those didn't really belong in the top 10, I don't think. Even though, I'm sorry, but like BWO always made me laugh. Spirit Squad, same thing. FBI was awesome. Now we'll go from there. Anyway, so let's go over my top 10. Number 10, Evolution. Okay. I dug that. I really liked what they did with them. It was awesome. Number 9. People are going to hate me for this. Right to Censor. I loved Right to Censor. Every time Steven Richards came out and did his little spiel, and they, of course, got the, at one point, I think they got the Godfather in there as well, or Papa Shango.
The Good Father.
Yes, the Good Father. I always loved that. It just killed me. The next
now, one.
One
thing, you know, I would like to just interject real quick. One thing I would say about Right to Censor that I liked was Stevie Richards never had a run in WWE. That was the only time he had a real run. Mm-hmm. And that was actually, you know what? You're right. I mean, they really were a great, great faction.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about them. And then all of a sudden I heard the music they came out to. I was like, that's awesome. Next, we have Three Count. Technically, they're a faction. I liked all three of them, except I didn't like, is it Evan Courageous? Yeah, Evan Courageous. Didn't care for him too much. And of course, his career went everywhere. Number 7, we have the NWO. Had to throw them in there.
Wow, that low, huh?
Yep. Not a big fan of the NWO. If they would have kept it, if it was WWE NWO, still did the same stuff, I would have been okay with. But anyways, number 6, The Brood. I like The Brood. I thought it was neat. Their entrance was probably the best I've ever seen. Come up through the ground with fire everywhere. And the whole, that thing actually, if they were to do that gimmick now, I think it'd be more popular. The vampire gimmick, because that's kind of big right now. Anyways, for number 5, I have the Alliance / ECW. course, that goes without saying. That was great. WWE screwed up that. I don't know. I mean, that could have been going on for 3 years, and they did it in about 3 months because they had all those titles. They could have taken their sweet time getting rid of it. But I think if I'm correct, on a Raw, they're just like, we're going to unify all the titles. It's like, what? You know, like, that's a little too soon.
Yeah.
Number four, Raven's Flock. I enjoyed them a lot. A couple of good superstars that came out of there, of course. Billy Kidman. And I remember when he left because the crowd loved it. And then when he won the Cruiserweight title, he just skyrocketed. Number three, we got the top three now. DX is my third. That goes without saying. There's a lot of fun stuff that DX did that, of course, NWO didn't do. Then they were more comical. And they walked the line the entire time on what they did. Then we had NWO's Wolfpack. I know that technically NWO is the same, but I like the Wolfpack better. When it was just the red and black, I dug them. Number one, the Four Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down. I can't change that. I think the Four Horsemen are just way too awesome.
Now, which iteration?
The first one.
The very first one?
Yep. I don't count the second one. I never have.
Well, I mean, the last one even was pretty cool. I really dug the last one. Mm-hmm. That's when Chris Benoit joined, and you had Dean Malenko and Ric Flair, and who was the last guy? Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yeah. The thing is, though, when the original Four Horsemen came out, it was all about whining, dining, showing they had money. And the thing that was great about that is that persona, when they would go out, like most of the time you see a wrestler out, you'd see him eat like a steak and shake, which is not something high class. Everywhere they went somewhere basically high class to keep that character going on. They flew first class. You know, they took the limos. They did all that. They kept it up. It actually made it seem that it was more real. And same thing like what they did with Million Dollar Man. You know, same thing. I dug it. I thought they are great. And I don't think anything can ever be reproduced. So
the other thing, too, is they were one of the first. I mean, I don't know of any before then. Because Four Horsemen, I mean, they were in the early 80s. You know, I mean,
they,
the first iteration was then. And I thought that was pretty big because I don't remember any big faction like in WWF at the time. You know, I can't think of any. Maybe the Hart Foundation, but even then it was only Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart, you know? And then they added Bulldog, you know, and they were doing their own like small little thing, but they weren't the Four Horsemen, you know?
No.
They weren't. So,
yeah. But yeah, so I want to talk about your top 10 for the Filthy Animals. I want to reiterate something. I'm not as mad as I was because I went back and actually watched tape. And I will say they were exciting. It was only, if I'm correct, there's seven of them, I think, in total. There wasn't many in the group. They did.
Well, it was seven total, but they had three different iterations of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And at any given time, it was normally three or four people. So even though they had a total of seven, it was over a few different iterations. So.
And they were high flyers. Of course, Kidman and Mysterio won the Cruiserweight tag titles, which was a great idea. Too bad they couldn't continue with it. And I don't know, like, just watching the tapes, I was like, you know, I actually remember them being exciting. So I'm sorry that I gave you so much crap about that and dropped something that I had to beep out. I'll give you a gap. If I had to redo my top 10, I'd have to put them at least in the top 10. So.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I mean, the thing was, you know, for me, they were the most exciting group I think I have ever seen. But that's also because high flyers are exciting by nature. There's a reason why they're always put at the very beginning of a card. They excite the crowd. They get you pumped. Mm-hmm. You see Rey Mysterio out there and he does some crazy stuff. You're going to love it. You see Kidman doing some crazy things. You're going to love it. And that's why the Filthy Animals, to me, were the most exciting. History-wise, there's a reason why the Four Horsemen were my number two. You know, there's a reason DX was three and NWO was number four because they did great things and they defined an era. I mean, they really did. NWO was the mid to late 90s. Same thing with DX. They did some really great things. But excitement-wise, for me, it was Filthy Animals.
Yep. Good call on that. Good call on that. So, do you have anything else you want to cover before we tap out?
And I think I think that what we want to do is, you know, we've been going a few episodes here and there without any weekly topics, you know, and I think that's something that you and I have both talked about that we don't want to do. We want to have a weekly topic every single episode. Mm-hmm. So that way, if you're just wondering and you want to go back and take a look, you can. And so one of the things we want to do is we want to do these like top five, top 10 lists each and every week. And I think that factions were a big one. So that's why we each did our own. Mm-hmm. But we've actually been working on doing, you know, a top five list on our own. And in particular, the one that I've done and that we'll do maybe not next week, but maybe the week after is I'm doing the top wrestlers to never hold a major title. So WWE, WCW, or even ECW titles. So that's one that I've been working on. I know Andy is also working on some too. So, you know, whenever we don't have a real topic to talk about, we're going to be doing these top
like
10.
The crappiest belts ever made, the new WWE tag titles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're going to be, I think, a little different too. They're going to be you know, we did top factions, but I think top wrestlers never hold the belt is one that we talked about. We've been talking about doing top WCW submission holds. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about doing just a lot of really different type of top lists.
So. Oh, yeah. So if you guys have any things that you guys want us to talk about, a top 10 list, let us know and we'll cover those. And if you do that, we'll send you a little something in the mail. How's that sound? So just send us either something over the Twitter. We are Off the Mark 86. So if you have any questions, just send us over to there. Anyways, let's go ahead and call it for a week. I just want to say thanks to our listeners out there for listening to the show. Thanks, Section 86 and 86 Productions, of course. I want to thank, of course, my co-host, my partner in crime, Mr. AP Hughes. You can find him on the Twitter, of course, at AP Hughes. You can find me. I'm AHughes86. The show is Off the Mark 86. And until next time, we're tagging out.